You always got to ask, am I on? Am I on? Some of you are not sure where I'm at right now. Tell you what, all right. I was kidding with Brother Jody, and after that introduction, I don't even know if I can preach. But we have grown to love him and his wife and his family over the years he's came. We've heard so much about your Pastor Emeritus, Brother Lasky. All good things, Brother, all good things. And I want to thank you for letting Brother Jody and the teens come down to our church. I would be remiss if I did not tell you how much I appreciate that. I couldn't make any meeting. I heard the preaching was good. I have to go by what the folks said, Brother Jody. And so, but I'll tell you what, we appreciate so much you doing that. And my son, Timmy, wanted me to make sure, those of you who met him, that he wanted to tell you hello. And I need to make sure I do that or I'll be in trouble when I get home with him. I always like to say a little joke before I get started because I'm nervous, and so are you. So let's get started. Three women died together in an automobile accident and go to heaven. When they get there, St. Peter says, we only have one rule here in heaven. Don't step on the ducks. So they enter heaven, and sure enough, there are ducks all over the place. It is almost impossible not to step on a duck. And although they try their best to avoid them, the first woman actually steps on one. Along comes St. Peter with the ugliest man she ever saw. St. Peter chains them together and says, your punishment for stepping on a duck is to spend eternity chained to an ugly man. The next day, the second woman steps accidentally on a duck, and along comes St. Peter, who doesn't miss a thing. With him is another extremely ugly man. He chains them together with the same admonishment as for the first woman. The third woman has observed all this, and not wanting to be chained for all eternity to an ugly man, is very, very careful where she steps. She manages to go months without stepping on any ducks, but one day, St. Peter comes up to her with the most handsome man she's ever laid her eyes on. I mean, tall, dark, handsome, and buffed. You know what? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, all right? And St. Peter chains them together without saying a word. The happy woman says, I wonder what I did to deserve being chained to you for all of eternity. The guy says, I don't know what you did, but I stepped on a duck. Don't step on the ducks. Is this water for me? Can I drink some of this? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8. You have heard this verse many times. In fact, I don't know of any other verse probably in the Bible outside John 3:16 that people have not memorized and spoken and said, or even quoted to somebody else when in time of trouble or distress. But I'd like for you to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28 this evening. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. Let's pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, Lord. We ask you, please, help me get out of the way. Lord, it's not me. It's what the Holy Spirit can do through your word. We ask you tonight, please, Lord, again, to take over, take the service. Let me say exactly what you need to be said, Lord, and let us enjoy being at church this evening. We ask all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last 12 verses of Romans chapter 8 may be unequal anywhere in the New Testament. As you would have read, or if you have read or studied Romans chapter 8, there's many things involved here. The first of these has 12 dynamic verses, the focus of our study that we've had. But I'm going to go with one verse tonight. Now, you've probably heard it preached before, and I'm probably not going to tell you anything new. Can I share with you something? There is nothing new under heaven. That's a Bible quote, by the way. You can say amen. All right. There's nothing new under heaven, all right? So what I'm sharing with you tonight is we read this verse, and I should share with you, it's probably something you already know, but we need to sometimes focus sometimes on one verse, sometimes even just words in a verse, to really get the true meaning of what we need to understand about Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It doesn't mean that I'm any better than anybody else, but we need to look at the fact, at the verse here. First of all, and we know. Isn't that what it says there? And we know. Are you reading your Bibles? And we know, all right? Y'all need to help me out. Brother Jody tells me he usually preaches an hour and a half, and I don't know if I can stretch it that far, but I'll do my best. All right? Paul here is reminding us of something we already know. It says here the words "we know" is used 5 times in the book of Romans, and the word "know" is used 16 times. These words refer to that which is the common knowledge, or should be the common knowledge, of a saved person, a believer. So when he starts out, this verse says, this is what you should know. This is what Tom Reese should know. This is what you should know. As we read this verse, as we get further in the verse, you should already know. If you're born again, you should already know what we're going to cover tonight. You should do more than just already know it. You should have memorized it, and you should have applied it to your life. But as we look at the things this evening and realize that this is for believers this evening, well, we're not going to go just to the believers tonight, but we need to understand something. God loves you. He loved me. He was willing to save us. And not only does he love us enough to save us, he loves us enough to keep us, and he also loves enough to bless us. Amen? I mean, how do you like to be cursed tonight? Raise your hand. Amen, brother. That's one right there. Just take care, brother. Joe, you'll have service, all right? Amen. No one likes to. Everybody wants to be blessed, don't you? When you were growing up, when your dad took the belt off, you were hoping he was blessing you more than he was going to be cursing you. Amen? My dad did not believe in spanking. He believed in whooping. You know, there is a difference. Amen? And you can tell I'm warped this evening. It warped me completely. Paul here says that we can know beyond any doubt that any aspect of our lives is in God's hands and will be divinely used by the Lord not only to manifest his own glory, but to work out in our own ultimate blessing as well for our lives. If God knows better than we do, why do we take control? If God knows better than what we do, why do we take control? There's a song that's been way back years gone by. It's talking about a picture that was being painted, and we took the paintbrush away from God and tried to paint the picture ourselves and got all messed up. Romans 8:28 here tries to confirm to us the idea that you're not supposed to lead your life. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead your life. God needs to direct your life. And that's how God should do everything in your life. There's not anything you should not pray over. New car. New home. Getting married. Thank you for the two. Thank you ought to pray for you to get married. Amen? If you say amen tonight, it's shorter. And if you laugh at the jokes, it's shorter. If you don't say amen, it's the hour and a half sermon. Okay? All right. Doing good. All right. We know. We know. What do we know? And all things work together for good. The all things of this verse is totally comprehensive. It has no limits. Taken in this context, the promise allows for no restrictions or conditions. All things, includes the suffering and the groanings. In other words, all that is negative in this life or seems to have or seems to be is really positive for God. Because God allowed it to happen in your life. Amen? Can I come down here? I'm sorry. I'm just feel so out of touch with y'all. I gotta get in our church, we're small. You see 3 of our auditoriums in here. All right, amen. Now I'm spitting range now, okay? Amen? You got a little holy spit on you. Amen? All things. The idea behind all things is even though you thought maybe sickness, maybe an accident, maybe a wreck, maybe something that you didn't think was right in your life, God allowed to happen. Listen, there's nothing in your life that's going to happen that God does not allow to happen. They have to confer with God before the Satan can do anything to you. Nothing gets to you does not go through God. So therefore, if God allows all things to happen in your life, then that means all things are for... Thank you. Thank you for helping me. All right, class, we're getting there. Amen. Don't you ever talk back to him when he preaches? He doesn't let you, does he? No, okay. Amen. I understand. No problem. I understand that. All right. All right. For all things. All things. I've often wondered in my life when things happen. Now listen, I did not plan on having heart surgery. That's not something I had planned in my life. And when they told me it, they woke me up off the table when they were doing the catheterization. And they said, oh, by the way, we're going to do triple bypass. I said, okay. I just went back to sleep. Why? Because I was drugged up. I didn't know what was going on. Then I come out of it. My wife tells me they're going to do surgery. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. The doctor said you need it. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. But I had it anyway. But all things were together. Sometimes things happen in our lives to get us to a place where we'll listen more to what God has to say. Now, God uses different things in our lives. All right, is anybody in here hugged? You don't have no hunters here? Oh, I'm scared of it. Thank you, Brother Lasky. Thank you so much. You run dogs too, don't you? Man, God, you are a man of God. Yes. Yeah, man, I got it. Amen. Nobody else in here does? Brother, you need lots of prayer in this church. Amen. Amen. Think about all things. You have probably came here tonight, some of you saying, I cannot believe God allowed this to happen to me. Now think about it for a second. We're not all in here and in perfect where we ought to be with God. We're not all here probably right where we need to be with God. And as far as some of you came tonight with a heartbreak. Some of you came tonight probably with things on your mind, hurtful things. You know, we need to understand that if God is trying to build and mature you and I, there's things he has to do in our lives to get us to mature. Think of your children when you raise them. There's times when you have to discipline them to help them to unlearn that there's some things they just don't do. Do you think God's any different? God's always relating to us in the Word of God that as much as you love your child, he loves us more. And so therefore, when he has to discipline us or has to bring things in our lives, it's not because he's waiting up here with a whip ring for you to make a mistake. I'll catch you. That's not God. God's design has always been to help us to learn that as we mature, that we'll learn more, we'll grow more, pray more, serve more, so that we can be exactly what we need to be for him. For all things. So no matter what it is, all things. All things. If you were praying for a mate, God did is good for all things. Amen? I think if you think about getting married, you got to pray. Pray hard, pray hard, pray hard, pray hard. And if you're not married yet, please see me after church, Brother Jody. I'd like to do a little marriage counseling. I can really warn some of y'all about some things. Yes. But you ought to pray about everything. And if all things work together, and the thing about it is sometimes our mistakes we make is because it's decisions we make that we don't even check with God about. All right? Let's go a little further in the verse. I don't want to leave you hanging out here. But all things and together. The idea behind together meaning that all things work together. We already covered that. But the idea is it means it's kind of intertwined together. It's very interesting when God said that a man and woman are supposed to get married and they're supposed to become one flesh. The idea means so intertwined together that they become as one. Amen? The idea behind here, all these things that are working in our lives that God is allowing, is to intertwine in our lives to take us, to make us exactly what he wants us to be. Do we rebel? Yes. Do you rebel? Yes. Does Brother Jody rebel? Yes. We all rebel sometime in our life. It's what we do with the rebellion that makes the difference. Do we get on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry for trying to take control? God, am I sorry for trying to blame you for something that you allowed to happen in my life because it's important that I need this to help me take me where I need to be? Am I always arguing with God about things when I think, you know, where do you think all the Sunday school teachers come from? God touching people's hearts. Amen? Where do all the bus workers come from? God touching people's hearts. And sometimes God brings things into your life to get your attention so you'll listen to him when he calls. Now, I know this is the cream of the crop here this evening. I know I'm preaching to the choir. All right, but I needed this message for my wife and myself as much tonight as you. I'm serious. All things. And then the condition to the promise is to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is for saved individuals. Now, if you're not saved here tonight, I want you to know God loves you. He loves you more than anybody else on the face of this earth could ever love you. He was willing to let his son, Jesus Christ, die upon the cross for your sins and my sins. He was willing to let him be beaten, his beard plucked out by the roots. He was willing to let his hide be ripped off his back. He was nailed to a cross. He was willing to let Jesus go through that because he loved you and me. That's why. And he demonstrates his love for us. And he said, even though he knew we were sinners, he knew some people would never ask him to save him, still he died for the sin of the whole world. So tonight, if you're not saved, I want you to know that you can get saved this evening. You can ask Christ to come to your heart and save you and forgive you your sins. But as we look at this tonight, to them that love God, man's response is to them that love God, agape love, dear heartfelt longing for God. When's the last time you really yearned for a close, close relationship with God? Think about it. When's the last time you broke down in tears because your relationship with God was not what it ought to have been? When's the last time that when you spoke, you know God heard you because you were spiritually where you needed to be? We don't even have that relationship with our wives and husbands sometimes. Amen? When's the last time you demonstrated real love? It says here, again, to them that love God. It means heartfelt love, agape love, love that's unconditional. I thought it was amazing that God can love me unconditionally, but I try to love him conditionally. Now, I know you're not that way. Just Tom Reeves from Crystal River, Florida, he's the only one. In fact, I'm the only reprobate here tonight, all right? But we try to love him he loves us unconditionally. We try to love him conditionally. God, if you will, then I will. God, if you'll do this, then I'll teach that Sunday school class. God, if you'll do this, then I'll drive that bus. God, if you'll do this, then I'll usher. God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. Why do we put conditions on God when God didn't put conditions on you for you to get saved? I'm blowing bubbles. That's good. Amen. God's response to them who are called. I thought it was very interesting as I looked this up. The idea behind this word called is invited. The showbread that was used in the temple was there to demonstrate that God wanted them to see the bread that was there. It was the idea of being put on display. Can I share this with you? This verse here, as it starts out, as it says it, and let's look at what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The idea behind this is that you are to be put on display when you're here at this point in time. You realize that you're on display for a world that many of them do not love God, do not care about God, but yet they're looking for something, and we're to be put on display. Look at what it says. Look at what it says there. Who are called according to his purpose. God's purpose has always been for a Christian to shine. God's purpose has always been for a Christian to live a life that was godly unto him. God's purpose has always been for us to be an exhibit to the world. If we're not exhibiting Christ, we're exhibiting something else. And here as we look at this, saying, well, some of the conditions, it's amazing to me, God's response. And as we look at it, so this is a promise to be secured by us. We must have a love for God first, then allow ourselves to be exhibited to a world for God who has done this on purpose. Think of Job. Job was on exhibit. You realize that, don't you? The book of Job was not written just so that you could have something to read. It was written so you can see somebody else has probably gone through what you have gone through, or what you're getting ready to go through, or you are going through right now. Someone else before you has went through this. Amen. You realize many times God puts us through things in our lives so that you can help somebody else down the road when they have to go through that, because you say, I understand what you're saying. I remember as a pastor, my dad was still alive, and I go to try to comfort and counsel with people who have lost their father or mother or brother or sister, and I could never make the comment, I know what you mean, or I know what you feel, because I hadn't had no one close die like that. But I remember in 2000 when my dad died, now when I made the comment to him, I know what you're feeling, I did know. What we need to understand tonight is this. Job, Joseph, and Jesus always were put on display for a world that did not care for God. Many times did not want God. But the world had to see that there was a God and that God loved them. I mean, it wasn't Joseph's idea to be thrown in a pit, beat up, sold into slavery, end up going down to Egypt and been in Potiphar's house, and he tried to get seduced and he ran away. They put him in prison. He hadn't done nothing wrong. And all of a sudden, now he's up to second, third, or fourth in the kingdom. But that was God's idea. Because one day, the nation of Israel needed to be saved because of the famine. I imagine if Jesus could have made a different arrangement, but he knew that God's arrangement was for him to have to go to the cross, hang between heaven and earth, on display, many times in a world who did not care. Now, all of you tonight here are showing that you care by being here tonight in the evening service at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I know you probably came here, Bud Jody preached tonight, and he is a better preacher than me, but he is a little younger, so you got to understand it. But you came tonight expecting something from God. You weren't expecting necessarily something from Brother Jody, from Tom Reeves. You're expecting something from God. You came tonight to worship. You came tonight to fellowship. You came tonight to read the Word of God and find out the Word of God had to say to you. And I can assure this week, the Holy Spirit has already spoke to your heart this evening about what He needed to talk to you about. It's not about me. It's about God and you and what God can do in your heart. For all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Do you really know what His purpose is for your life? If not, you should know. If not, you're going to be finding out. Because God wants to put you right where He wants you. So that when He reveals it to you, you're ready to respond in the right way. I can't make that decision for you. Brother Jody can't make that decision for you. But you have to decide tonight. I did not preach this message to browbeat you or to get you to do something you don't want to do. But the response we see, first of all, it should fill the believer with trust. Romans 8:28 should have you trust God in everything. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, the first thing is the believer should have trust in God. Many of you trust people in this room more than you trust God. See, you can't see God. Can you? I think you ate the wrong sandwich if you think you can see God. We can see what God does and what He's created, but please don't eat that thing tonight or you really have a vision this evening, all right? But yet many times we'll trust what we can see more than what we know from the Word of God to be true. Yes. But it ought to build trust, knowing that in everything, no matter what it is, should build trust in my life. Second thing, you should fill the believer with thanksgiving. You ought to be thankful that God's in control. Thank you, brother. One in control. Think about it for a second. You ought to be thankful that God's in control. He is better at living your life than you are. He is. He is perfect. He does not make mistakes. And it's not 2 seconds late. It's right on time. Always. Always. You should have thanksgiving. When's the last time you thank God just for letting you live? When's the last time you thank God for your family? When's the last time you thank God for allowing you to be in the position you're in at Buffalo Ridge? When's the last time you just thank God for being able to be here? You say, well, they ought to be thankful I'm there. Well, maybe we should. I don't know. But the idea behind it is that we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. And the third one is this. It should fill the believer with tenacity. You say, what's tenacity? Well, down at Chris River, they call it guts. But up here in the sophisticated church, it's tenacity, okay? I told Brother Jody when I was coming, I said, Brother Jody, this is an uptown church, man. I'm just out from the sticks. He said, you're going to be surprised when you get here. I don't know what he meant by that, but anyway. It should fill the believer with tenacity. It should won't make you stronger and stronger and stronger, not weaker and weaker and weaker. The weaker you get is because you're not trusting in the Savior. You're not thankful for what He has done. Or it would give you the guts you need to live the life of Christ that you need to live. Fellows and ladies on the job, you need to live for Christ there as much as you live for Christ in the home. Or you live one way when you come to church and another way on the job, heaven help you, because you're on display. There are some conditions to this promise. If you don't love God, you're going to lose some things. Not your salvation, but you're going to lose some things. And if you don't realize that all things work together for good, all things, you're going to get to the idea where you start blaming God for things and try to say, God, you should not have done that. When God knows perfectly what He's doing. Perfectly. Yes. And you understand also He fills us with tenacity, or should. We should have the guts to live for Christ.
Amen.
When I was a teenager growing up, we had a great youth director come to our church. And he was just fabulous. He was. We went out soul winning. We had football players, cheerleaders getting saved in our high school, and our youth department was growing, and we just got excited. And everybody wanted to go out visiting. We went out door to door, knocking on door. We carried a survey. We were leading teenagers to the Christ right and left. I mean, it's just exciting. But I can remember when it came time to go to Bible college, we graduated. There's probably about 40 of us that went up to Bible college. 20 left and came back home and never even started. They just thought it was a good idea to go. You don't need to go unless God called you. You need to be very, very important at what God wants you to do. He will bless you. He will give you what you need to live that life for Christ. Let's stand, please, and head bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I don't know you tonight, and many of you don't know me, but some of you do. So please forgive me if I ask a few questions so I'll know how to pray. First question I would like to ask tonight is this. Say, Brother Reeves, I know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if I die, I know I will go to heaven. Would you be one to raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over our team. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Second question is this. Say, Brother Reeves, I'm just not sure if I die today that I will go to heaven. I would like to. I want to. But I'm just not sure. Would you be willing to raise your hand? I won't come back and embarrass you. I won't say anything. I just want to pray for you. Would you be willing to raise your hand and say, I'm not sure if I die today that I go to heaven? Would you be willing to raise your hand this evening? Then according to how you voted this evening, you say all of you are saved in this building this evening. Then the message I preached was exactly for believers, and according to you tonight, everyone in here is a believer. I cannot see your heart, but God can. God knows if you fibbed or not. When you get ready to give this invitation, if you're sitting there, you weren't going to raise your hand, but you're not sure your heaven is your home, I'd encourage you to meet with Brother Jody right down here in front when you get ready to sing the very first verse of the song and talk to him about where you'll spend eternity. And the third question is this before we pray. So, Brother Reeves, I'm just not sure about that verse. I know what you're talking about. But there's times when I blame God for things, and I should have just been willing to accept it and grow with it and to mature myself the way God would like for me to be. But sometimes I've got irritated at God. Sometimes I've even made him say things that God should not have said because I did not understand or I was not willing to accept what he brought into my life. Will you pray for me that God will help me to understand and to be what I need to be for him? Would you be willing to raise your hand so I can pray for you, please? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. You may put them down. Let's pray. Dear Father, as you come in prayer this evening, Lord, I ask you, please, help me to get out of the way completely. Lord, for the Holy Spirit to take and touch our hearts this evening. Lord, I didn't want to preach in the flesh. Lord, hopefully I did not preach in the flesh this evening. But Lord, let you touch our hearts the way you need to. Lord, again, we ask you, please, let your will be done. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. 306, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And I encourage you to get ready to sing. If you need to come, the altar's here. If you need to come and pray, the altar's here. It's one thing to raise your hand, it's another thing to concrete it by bending knee. And please, I encourage you, as we sing, if you need to come, please, as we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
Here at this church. Everybody has trouble. And I'm praying the Lord will guide my thoughts here. But everybody has trouble. Everybody has things happen in your life that you wouldn't choose for yourself. The death of a loved one, a family sickness, some kind of an accident like he's talking about. When those things happen, you have a choice to make. You will blame God, get bitter, and quit. Or you will trust God, get better, and lead others to him through it. For instance, What is it that the Lord has allowed you to go through? How many times have we heard our preacher say, don't ask why, because there's no answer to that. But I do know this, that because of what the Lord has allowed you to go through, there are people going through the exact same thing that do not know the Lord at all. And if you get bitter and blame God and quit, that person may never receive the Lord as their Savior. Through the tears, you look up. You say, God, I don't understand. Because you've allowed me to go through it, if you'll show me somebody else who's going through it, I'll try to point them to you. Do you follow me what I'm saying? Do you understand this? Who's the greatest person to deal with an unbeliever who's dealing with cancer? In my opinion, it's a Christian who's been there and had cancer, or who has it now. Who's the greatest person, maybe, potentially, to reach a lady or a man whose marriage has been torn all to pieces? Could be a believer who's been there. Who's the greatest person to reach a grieving lady with the death of her husband, or a grieving widower with the death of his wife? In my opinion, it's a child of God who's been there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is exhausting your influence. I want to ask you this question. He got finished preaching early tonight. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bow your head there just a moment. We're just about through. And have me say, Jody, I know what this preacher was talking about, things that God has allowed. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a sickness. It could be marital trouble. It could be something in the past that's forgiven. It's under the blood. But you say, Jody, I've had things in my life that I would not choose for myself. If I would choose my life, I would not have choose that. Have you have something in your life like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. If you raised your hand, I want you to listen very closely. I'm not saying that if it was caused by sin, that God was pleased with it, but here's what I am saying. God uses all things. Makes no difference what it is. In just a moment, we're going to re-extend this invitation, and here's what I want you to think about. How am I responding to all of this? Am I pointing people to Christ? Or am I quitting? What is it? It may be something you're going through now. It might be something you've gone through in the past. But whether it's the past or present, are you allowing the Lord to use it to draw people to Himself? Have you say, Jody, now be honest. Be honest. The Lord's watching you. The Lord knows. Have you be honest and say, Jody, whether it's something in the past or whether it's something now in the present, you say, Jody, I do not believe that I'm allowing the Lord to use it the way He wants to use it. And you say, Jody, would you pray for me that I will take my hands off and I will truly trust God and turn it over to Him lock, stock, and barrel? And would you pray for me, Jody, that I will allow this to help me to point people to Christ? Have you be honest about that right there. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with me? Say, Jody, pray for me. This is what I need to do. If you got your hand raised, I want you to do me a favor. Would you lower it just a moment? But I want you to look right up here at me. I don't do that often, but when there's a large response, I do this. That's a lot of you. A lot of you. And I'm looking you right in the face, and I am not saying I'm glad you're going through what you're going through. I'm not. Some of these things were brought about by the sin of other human beings. No doubt about it. Some of them were just things that happened. But whatever it is, God is bigger. God is bigger. And the Lord can take that and He can help you respond in such a way that you're up on display, as the preacher said, and when they look at you, they say, "My, my, He's shining brightly in me." And you can point people to Christ. In just a moment, Brother Gary's going to sing. I'm going to invite every one of you to come. You say, "Jody, I don't typically come." I'm not trying to force you to come. God knows my heart. God knows my heart. But I'm going to be honest with you. I want to ask you to come. And make it a matter of prayer right here. It's a lot of you. I hope you'll do this and let us pray with you. Father, help them to respond now, please. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing the next verse. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? Would you come now as he sings? Come on. Say, "Jody, how in the world can God take that and use it?" Because He's God. That's the answer. There's no bang, 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 connect the dots. No, He's God. And I don't know about you, and I know that I'm speaking for all of us who preach. I'm tired of God getting blamed for everything. He gets blamed for almost everything. And all I'm saying is that, hey, He lets human beings make choices, and He says there's consequences for those choices. But even in the midst of those bad, bad choices, God can step in, and God can take that, and God can help through it. God can use it. Somehow, some way, God can use that thing. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? He can even take the bad stuff and turn it into good stuff if you allow Him to have His way in your life. My, my, what a message. I was speaking to the men from prayer meeting yesterday, and I said, "He's a country boy coming up here." And he is. He's got the power of God in his life. He's preached his heart to you. And I'm telling you, giving folks time. You understand that, don't you? God is after a lost world. And one way He reaches them is through His own children and how He's led them through all the way. And I hope you'll take this message and use it. This has been a great blessing. Thrilling to have my dear friend here. God bless you. I'm going to ask all four of you, wouldn't mind. Good to have his dear wife here, Miss Reed. God bless you. Mr. and Mrs. Ford, Pastor Reed. If you all wouldn't mind to make your way out to the lobby, I'm sure our folks will want to greet you. Let me remind any first-time guest, if you're here, to take your card by the Welcome Center. Let it remind you as you leave tonight, shake hands with somebody, talk to them. Tell them you're glad they're here. If you see somebody that you don't recognize, go up to them, say, hey, God bless you. Glad you're here this evening. No doubt about it. Outstanding. It's 7:29. We're doing good. I know what you're thinking. Try to have him more often, right? Instead of you. I'm trying to hold you to 7:30. I don't want you to get used to anything here. You say, no, I'm kidding with you. I appreciate you coming. I really mean that. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Brother Russ Mosier, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray and ask the Lord to bless this service tonight.